This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching, so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Caitlin Durante.
My name's Jamie Loftus.
Yeah, we're doing our last names now.
Because of someone who's in the room who can't speak yet.
Right.
This is the power part of just like, you can't talk yet. This bothers our male guests, and they usually don't make it.
Yeah.
They usually don't.
Interrupt a lot.
They're usually, or sometimes the male guest, I'm just going to go ahead and just call out Jack O'Brien. We'll do a loud laugh while we're doing the intro, and it's like, you're not supposed to be seen yet, but you're making yourself known.
Our guest on
the microaggression
Gigli episode, slamming the table, throwing
Josh
a fit.
Josh Fadem basically threw the table at us in the first 2 minutes. Who else is Hampton for sure?
But we are very excited for our guest today.
I'm so excited. Oh, wait, we didn't say what the podcast is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry. We're still in the power zone right now. Right. The Bechdel cast, it's our podcast about women and how they're portrayed in movies.
And wouldn't you know that mainstream Hollywood cinema does not portray women very well until very recently. I mean, this year is pretty good for women in film.
Oh, I think I said this year's pretty good for women. I was like, sorry, have you checked your news app? It's pretty bad out there.
But we've done several movies recently that came out this year that have fared very well by our standards.
Yes, I, Tonya, Lady Bird.
Girls Trip.
Hidden Figures came out last year.
Yeah.
All right, so you know, there's options.
It's getting a little better.
There's more options.
But historically, Hollywood has not portrayed women well, is my point.
I disagree. And I have a 45-minute argument. Okay. So we use the Bechdel test as sort of our jumping-off point for discussion. Mm-hmm. Bechdel test being the test created by Alison Bechdel in the comic book Dice to Watch Out For. And in our version of the test, we would like to see movies have two female-identifying characters with names talk about something other than a man for more than two lines of dialogue. Does not happen a lot.
Not enough.
But I'm very excited for today's episode. It's a common request when we ask for requests. I feel like we've seen this movie come up just about as often as, like, we got a lot of requests for, like, Legally Blonde as well, which we did on the Patreon. So subscribe, and then maybe you can hear what I think about Victor Garber.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
You like
hot.
Him. But
he's
this movie,
hot-y.
Yeah, we get requests for it because it's a great movie. It's a cult classic.
It's a cult classic.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes. And I'm so excited for our guest today.
Ooh.
She's a friend of the cast. She's a friend of you. She's a friend of me. She owns and operates a nonprofit art space right here in Hollywood, California, called Junior High. You got to check this place out. It's great. It's the best. She's a wonderful visual artist. It's Faye Orla, for crying out loud.
I can talk now.
You're welcome.
Thanks for asking permission.
Once you said that men usually fail at that, I was like, committed. I would have said something otherwise. I was like, must prove myself.
Some of our female guests have violated the rule, but statistically, first of all, men are allowed on the show simply less.
Mm-hmm. True.
But when they do show up, they're talking early. They're talking right. I think we may have an example of like, hi, I'm Jamie. Hi, I'm Caitlin. Hi, I'm the guy. And it's like, we did not ask you to make yourself known yet.
Literally the only thing you told me when we were about to record was that you're going to do a 2-minute bit at the beginning, just you guys, and not to be there, you know?
Just us gals. Just us gals.
And I'm really good at instructions.
You can did a great take job. A direction. Better than
it's my best trait, honestly.
So, Faye, you brought us Josie and the Pussycats.
And you also brought us Josie and the Pussycats stickers that you drew. They're so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Can people buy these at your art space, junior high?
Actually, I don't think they're at junior high right now. I should bring some, but I just make a bunch of stickers and celebrity junk that's on my website. It's just
FayeOrlove.com. Great. So, Josie and the Pussycats, why did you pick this movie? When did you first see it? What's your history with this movie?
I have no idea when I first saw it because that is just so much a part of me that it feels like I was birthed and I knew every line.
Okay, great. Thing. Yeah.
But I'm obsessed with it. I know every word of every song, kind of embarrassingly. They did that. I don't know if you guys saw it at the Ace Hotel. They did like the full cast Q&A and the band played like that did all the recordings
with
like letters from Cleo, like the singer.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
It was so cool.
You were there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that being
aggressively there.
I remember those Insta stories.
Yeah.
Fully, the artist was present that night.
Yeah. It was. That was like a dream come true. I think Josie and the Pussycats might be my favorite band. They are very real to me.
Yeah, sure.
I don't. Yeah.
I'll allow it.
No, they're the best. And they released a vinyl of all the songs. And then there was a mini, like, 7-inch Du Jour single for Backdoor Lover. Yeah.
Wow.
I should have brought that. Well, I'll show it to you later. But it is good marketing.
How are you familiar at all with the comics that it was based off?
Yeah, I would read Archie all the time as
a
kid.
Cool.
And that was like my big gift. I would go to my parents would ship me away to Jewish sleepaway camp for a month every summer. Mm-hmm. And I would just wait till like week 2.5 and I'd get a package of Archie comics.
Oh yeah.
It's worth it.
Are you into Riverdale, the show?
I started watching it, and I just, like, haven't had a ton of time, but I'm into whichever Sprouse twin that is.
Cole.
Yeah.
I personally prefer Dylan, but, you know, I
think,
it.
Well, Dylan has, like, the longer hair, right?
Yeah, he's the thick twin.
Yeah, he's cute, too.
I'm here for the thick twin. If there's twins, I'm going for the thicker twin.
Good to get that. Just know that right off the bat.
The thin twin.
All right.
We got the thick twin. You got the thin twin. I'll write a song about it.
Please.
and then you'll really know how I feel about twins.
Jamie, when did you first see the movie?
On Christmas at your house?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because
You're
Caitlin
welcome.
And I do spend all major holidays together. We were together on Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, which is tragic and beautiful.
Where are both of your families?
Where they don't like us.
No, fair enough.
They're
on the East Coast. It's too cold. It's too hard to get to.
Yeah.
So I first saw Josie and the Pussycats. It must have been like 2000. I think it was my freshman year of college. So like 2004, a friend showed it to me. Instantly loved it. Bought it on DVD right away. Watched it dozens of times since then. Definitely one of my favorites. Super underrated. A lot of people don't know about this movie, or if they know about it, they assume that it's terrible.
Yeah. Well, because it did not get good reviews at the time. I mean, I think this was like one of those notoriously bad Ebert reviews of like, this is the worst movie.
He hates movies about girl bands because he also hated Spice World.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Spice World,
he did hate
to be
Spice
fair,
World.
Is really bad. But
it's bad,
one of
but
my favorite
so
movies
funny.
Of all time.
It's bad, but it's
great?
It's also good.
Question mark.
Yeah. I wish it was more popular so I had more opportunities to whip out the fact that I do know every dance from that movie.
Oh my God.
So, mostly I just perform solo to myself, but.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm like in a crazy mood right now.
That's quite all right. So, yeah, I saw it early on.
I just texted a boy. This doesn't pass the Bechdel test. We gotta return to form. Everything's great. I'm shifting around in my seat like a fucking psychopath. And I'm thinking about the fish's butt from The Shape of Water.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, hey, speaking of The Shape of Water, there it stars Sally Hawkins. And she is also in Paddington and Paddington 2.
No
shit. So
good for her.
Check out The Paddingtons.
The Paddington Expanded Universe.
Yeah, the Cinematic Universe. Anyway, so, yeah.
Cinematic Universe. Do you know if Paddington 2 is canon? Or
Paddington 2
Paddington
is canon,
Paddington 2
right?
is 100% canon.
Okay, relax.
believe you would question this.
Caitlin's about to like throw some furniture and I feel unsafe at this time.
Okay, so Josie and the Pussycats.
I was like, what are we talking about? Okay.
So I think we can all agree that we enjoy this movie.
It's so good. This is one of those movies that I truly don't know how I had not seen it, because it, like, every element of it appeals to me, especially, and normally I will wax poetic about Alfred Molina, who I think could have found a really fun bit role in this movie.
Sure.
If someone had their fucking head on. But for me, this movie is Alan Cumming.
He is Alan the star.
I had like a bet with myself how far in we'd be till when you mentioned Alan Cumming.
And
I think I won. Just she's gonna bring it up and she will Alan be Cumming. She will take a drink of water right when she says his name.
I need to lube my mouth up before I say his name. To be fully slippery. So I could talk about Alan Cumming. Alan Cumming, I mean, obviously feminist icon, queer icon, the list goes on. He's amazing. And this is...
And a British national treasure, I'm guessing.
Scottish national treasure.
Does he really have an accent? Wife. Because that's like the best part in the movie when his accent goes away briefly.
Oh, no,
like,
he's Scottish.
He's Scottish.
Oh. Yeah.
But I think he had a British accent. Yeah.
Yes, he did. That's why I assumed he was British.
Terrible.
It was not good. No. Yeah. But it turns out because he's a Scot. Mm. Anyways, he's the best part of The Good Wife, which I've seen every episode of.
That's weird.
Anyway... Shall I do the recap?
Do the recap. Oh, wait. Can we say who's in this movie besides Alan Cumming?
Certainly.
Because there's a... It's a kind of a star-studded roster.
It's star-studded.
So Josie is Rachel Lee Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Rosario Dawson plays... Again, this happens on the pod where we don't remember people's names and...
Character names. Her name is Val.
Val. And then Tara Reid is...
Melody.
As herself.
Slash Mel.
And also Parker Posey. Mm-hmm. Any scene with Parker Posey and Alan Cumming.
Oh, my. Yes. So Josie and the Pussycats is about a band comprised of those three characters, Josie, Val, and Mel. They're called the Pussycats.
Yeah.
They live in Riverdale, and they're just trying to make it. You know, they're doing small gigs. They don't have a following yet. They love music. They all live together.
And they live in the same trailer.
There's a boy named Alan M. who Josie...
Oh!
Big ol' crush on.
Okay, Faye. Alan M., hot or not?
Not hot. He literally wears flip-flops.
Thank you. He's a disaster.
Okay,
he's a mess.
He doesn't have good fashion, but he's got a cute little
I don't think anyone's attractive if I've seen their feet.
I understand that, yeah.
Caitlin is every... Because we've watched Josie and the Pussycats together twice now, and she stands out for Alan M. every time. She's like, no, he's hot.
He's a good dude, Alan M.
He's all bangs.
His haircut is very much of that time.
He can't even fix his own truck. He has to get a woman's help. Like, is that
we'll talk about
One of Caitlin's favorite tropes.
Yeah.
Woman who fixed the car.
Women are just inexplicably know so much about cars.
Alan M's fine. So
she begins to backpedal. Alan M, not hot.
Alan M,
good guy, not
mostly
hot.
Mostly hot.
I'm pretty sure he has a leather bracelet on in 90%
of the movie.
I used to wear a sweatband all the time that said, I have issues.
Is that from Hot Topic?
I cut it out.
Oh my gosh.
On sale.
I almost feel like you should legally be wearing that still just to warn people.
It's basically, it was a medical band. I just didn't know it. The font is crazy. There's all these pictures of me and my grandma. I'm wearing a back brace with my fucking thing that says I have issues. And my grandma she has this smile on her face where she's just smiling, but you can also tell she is making fun of me. By making me have a photo taken in that moment in time, she's fully attacking me.
Well,
I look like shit. Listen, I was 12 and I looked like absolute shit. Sure. I have issues.
You've got issues.
I have issues.
Well, so do the Pussycats, because they
amazing.
Simply...
Amazing, we're back on track.
Yeah.
That was an amazing segue.
Thank Caitlin you so much.
You do this professionally.
She's... Mm. Wait. Caitlin, have you been to college?
Yes, not only have I been to college, I have been to grad school, where I did get a master's degree in screenwriting from Boston University. I do not like to bring it up, but here we are. Okay, anyway, so the Pussycats are having issues. You know, they're trying to build a following. They're talented musicians. They've got great songs, but no one is listening to them. Meanwhile, there is Alan Cumming's character, whose name is Wyatt
Alan
Frame.
Cumming.
Did I say? What did I say?
No, I said Alan Cumming as himself.
Okay.
Jamie just took that as a moment to repeat the name Alan Cumming to herself.
Got it. Okay.
That's all that was happening.
I had to do it every couple minutes or I'll die. It's a contract thing.
It's actually what it said on the inside of your sweatband.
Hey, the shoes. Do not resuscitate.
Just whisper Alan Cumming. She will pop out of it.
Okay, so Alan Cumming plays this guy named Wyatt Frame, and he's like helping to run a label called Mega Records.
Mega Records.
Oh, and they just got rid of their front runner band, Du Jour.
Can we talk about, we'll get to this, but there is, top of the movie, Alan Cumming straight up jumps out of a plane.
Yes.
Elegantly.
And this happens because he's sort of like managing this band Du Jour, this boy band who's super popular.
Who is Donald Faison, Breckin Meyer,
Seth Green.
And
then another guy.
The fourth guy. Which I love because when Du Jour comes back at the end of the movie, it's only the guy. Because it's like, oh, you couldn't afford the other three for more than one day.
Yeah, they're in full body cast. Yeah.
That's not really them. No. That's got to be. Those are some extras.
So Alan Cumming has to jump out of a plane because this boy band starts to figure out something fishy that's going
they
on with the
sentient.
Record label. So Wyatt basically crashes the plane they're on. He jumps to safety, and now he's on the lookout for a new frontrunner band to be the most popular. And he finds the Pussycats. So,
please don't.
Actually, could we all do it together? How can I save this? All right, fine.
So he discovers the Pussycats. Without even hearing them play, he offers them a record deal. And they're just like, what's all this about? And he's like, doesn't matter. Just sign with us and we'll make you stars. And they're like, okay. And then they go, they get makeovers, they start recording some music. There's this ominous machine. It's like this recording device. They're like, what's all this? And he's like, don't worry about it. Meanwhile, we meet Fiona, played by Parker Posey, and we learn that the record company that they are running is actually just sort of this way to insert subliminal messages into music to get teenagers to buy a bunch of crap. So there's product placement all over this movie.
We did the count.
We tried to count.
We made a note. So I think there's upwards of 80 products being hawked throughout the course of this movie.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
And some of them are so, like, some of my favorite ones are the ones that only come up once of like, Tidy Cats, do you have $5? Because we'll put you in our movie. Like, there is a weird, very small Tiny Cats.
They actually did, during that Q&A, they said they did not get paid by any of those brands.
Really?
Yeah, and a lot of brands didn't want to be involved. Like, I think Gap pulled out. Like, they had a big Gap thing. Like, the girls were going to be in a Gap commercial, and they had to, like, pull it. They filmed it and everything. Yeah, they got no money for product placement for that.
Wow.
I think one would have
knew.
Yeah.
Well, because the movie sends a very anti-corporate message of like, hey, consumerism is bad.
Yeah.
Product placement is bad.
I'm pro-corporate.
Capitalism.
Watch it on Comedy Central every Wednesday night.
Hey, but speaking of Tidy Cats, though, did you know that cats have 8 nipples? This has been Cat Facts with Caitlin.
Oh, my God. I need more sentences to start with, speaking of Tidy Cats. 2018,
you're right. Yeah.
New mood.
Speaking of tidy cat. So, yeah, this whole record company is basically just a whole scam to insert subliminal messages into music to get teenagers to buy things. And then that's what Du Jour figured out, and that's why they died.
But then the great at the end with the Metallica concert joke is so good.
I thank God every day I knew the lyrics to Enter Sandman.
Every joke in this movie is the best joke ever written.
This movie's
it's
so
wild.
Funny.
It's the perfect satire, and it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's...
Meanwhile, so they make the Pussycats these huge stars, except that they change their name to Josie and the Pussycats. Josie, because she's the lead singer, becomes kind of the front woman of the band. And
this is, you can find a similar story in, sorry, my mouth is a little too lubed up.
Oh, wow.
Started to drown. similar themes are explored in the Cheetah Girls extended universe.
Oh, I'm not.
I'm only familiar with the Barcelona.
That's the second one. Okay. Cheetah Girls 2.
Oh, speaking of sequels, Paddington 2. Anyway.
Speaking of Tidy Cats.
Okay. So as the band gets more popular, Wyatt starts to insert these subliminal messages into songs that only she's listening
to. Her Discman.
She's
holding
so,
her disc. Yeah.
Because, like, Val and Mel are starting to realize something's fishy. Like, something's not quite right here. So they try to break the band apart by getting Josie to turn on Val and Mel. But it doesn't work. They figure it out. They figure out this whole subliminal message scam. There's this great, very long climactic sequence at the end where they confront Wyatt and Fiona. There's like a fight that happens.
So much happens.
Backstage at a concert that everyone's waiting for.
Can I just say really quick, Alan Cumming has a middle part for this entire movie?
Yes.
Okay. That's all.
You're going to lube up again?
I'm sorry. Let me just lube my mouth up.
Please.
So I can handle that fact.
That was Alan Facts with Jamie.
Sponsored by Tidy Cats. Oh,
speaking of Tidy Cats. My second favorite product placement in this movie, I think it would be Advil.
Advil.
The climactic scene takes place basically on a floor that's covered in Advil logos.
My favorite is the McDonald's shower.
Oh my god, I love that. That's a perfect scene.
Yes.
That's a perfect scene.
I made,
which is crazy because Tara Reid.
Oh my god, yeah, beware of
upside down, right?
Yeah.
Tara Reid is the only person in that scene, and Tara Reid's character. I hate that character. She's very annoying, and we'll get into it. But I can't stand that character. Anyway,
lots of fan service for Carson Daly, who I've said it before, I'll say it again, truly the world's most mediocre man.
Right.
Couldn't be a more, like, that is someone's dad with frosted tips. Anyways.
So the movie ends with they confront the record company, the feds come in, they shut them down even though they were in on it the whole time. They're like, actually, subliminal messaging works much better in movies. And then there's that great, Josie and the Pussycats is the best movie ever! And then, so they play the concert and Josie and hot Alan M. get together at the end and everything's...
I do like that scene at the end because it's so goofy and weird. Like, the joke is that they're screaming across the stadium and they can both hear each other. And it's so long. And they're like, I love you. I love you too. I'm like, nah, I don't know if I... Okay, sure. Great.
So that's the story. Let's talk about the female characters in it, of which there are several.
Who's your favorite?
Parker Posey. Oh, for sure. Okay, Fiona.
Okay. Fiona is amazing.
Yeah, she has like a real... desperation to be popular that I just also relate to in a very sad way.
And I think consistently has the best looks.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like, she gets the looks.
Uh-huh.
She's the best, and she's just like, hey, girls, it's a hot gossip. Like, she just, like, wants to hang out with a bunch of cool girls. She was, like, the ugly girl in high school, you find out, and just wants to, like, be popular and hang out with
Alan Cumming's been an albino guy the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that joke insensitive? Probably.
I think so.
Speaking of Tidy Cats, Alan Cumming as an albino man also has a middle part.
Oh, wow.
Wild.
Okay. Speaking of Tidy Cats, yes. I think that joke is insensitive to people with albinism. I think the joke of Fiona's character having a lisp is also insensitive to people with lisps. It's not a perfect movie, but in its defense,
speaking
of Tidy Cats, perfect movie.
Okay.
No, that was a reach.
I see where you went.
No, it wasn't. It was spot on. Thank you.
Nothing but respect.
Anyway, so Fiona, that character is amazing.
The very best moment of my entire life. I was 13 and at the mall with my mom in a J. Crew, and a random person told me I looked like Parker Posey. And I remember, like, what the leather gloves next to me looked like. Like, I was just shaken. I was like, and I don't look like her is the thing.
You imprinted.
So I was just like, that's the best moment ever. I like, still think about it when I'm sad. That's my happy place.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That J. Crew.
Once when I was little, my family went to Martha's Vineyard. We could only afford to go for 2 days every 2 or 3 years because it's rich people shit. But we would go. And one time when I was very young, like 5 years old, I grabbed onto what I thought was my mom's leg in an ice cream shop. And it was Uma Thurman's leg.
Whoa.
And she was straight up disgusted with me. She was like, whose poor child is this? Can I kill it? Like, we still talk about it sometimes, where my dad was like, remember when my adorable daughter touched Uma Thurman and she looked like she wanted to kick her? Like, Uma Thurman did not want a kid touching her by total accident.
I'm sorry.
So anyways, that's my happy moment. Yeah. I returned to violating Uma Thurman's space and being punished.
Sure. Okay, so Josie and the Pussycats is a movie about a band of all women. You don't see that many rock bands that feature even just a single woman, let alone all of the members of the band are women. True. So that's cool. So, yeah, I mean, this is not a perfect movie. There are some flaws, which we'll get to. But as far as the portrayal of women, it's a movie where the female characters are driving the story. They're
flawed. They've got lots of different, there's a lot of different types of women in this movie. Not enough different types of women.
No, and the characterization too. It's not the strongest we've ever seen.
No.
But
Tara Reid does seem like she learned how to drum, though. And for that, I applaud her.
She did. She talks about that.
She does?
At that Q&A.
Wow.
She learned to drum.
Because I was like, they go out of, because you don't see any racial leak. I mean, I don't
think
the other
two. No,
that is
not her singing.
That's not her singing?
No, it's not her voice.
Mm-mm. Didn't know.
Yeah. It's the girl from Letters to Cleo, whose name I can't remember right
now. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. But also, I don't know why I feel like a little bit betrayed. I don't know. It's fine.
That does ruin a little bit of the magic.
Yeah, that it was all fake?
Yeah.
The whole story was fake?
That's well, why? Not the corporate greed. That's very real.
That's extremely real.
So you can cling to that.
Oh, that was something I wanted to talk about on the second viewing of this. I thought it was so just like a weird story point that Josie and Mel and Val, from moment one, anytime they're talking about the band, they never say like, we play music because we love music. They say, we play music because we want a record deal. Like, they're fucking capitalists from moment one, which was like, I mean, that's just like a choice.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I mean, and I think that pays off later when they're like, corporate greed is actually bad. But like for a moment when they not only are very, they're like, we want to be famous and we want a record deal. And that is the objective a little more so than the music at first.
Yeah.
But they also viewed, and they're playing bowling alleys, and they say a few different times that they viewed Du Jour as their direct competition. It's like, I'm sorry, you are playing a bowling alley. Like, chill yeah. out.
But there's that scene when they're on the airplane and they're like taking a flight to go and get famous.
Is this the plane that has all the
Target.
Like the Target plane, or is it the one that has all the phones fused into the wall?
Yes, it's that one. The Motorola great. Plane. Yeah,
the Motorola plane.
That one. So in that scene, they have this like nice conversation about how we're going to be friends first and a band second. Like they're prioritizing. Right. So not necessarily prioritizing their music over anything, but like they're prioritizing their friendship over being in a band. So, I mean, that to me redeems them for maybe being a little bit too capitalist in the fact that
they're
like,
I don't even think that that's bad. I just thought that's like kind of weird, like not something I noticed at first, because I feel like usually when we're introduced to these stories, it's like, and we just like love playing music so much and it's about the art. And but for Josie and the Pussycats, they're like, I mean, like I obviously they care about the music.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but
I
they
think
also care about
the reason we have that whole like scene at their house is I think we're supposed to understand that they live together and they're broke, and I think mm-hmm. that's driving like this capitalist need more so than like the fame aspect, because they don't seem to really care about that. They just want right. to be able to like not eat ramen. Like they're specifically like eating ramen.
They're sharing ramen. Single package.
One brick of and they ramen. They say they're the only people in the history of Riverdale to share a bus pass. They're all three of them in their bus pass.
I just love think that bus
hella
pass.
Hella broke.
So great. Yeah, they're
and
very broke.
It's more of a commentary on how artists don't get paid.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Point
wow.
taken.
Good point.
Point taken.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. The guest really overstepping. Interesting. Interesting choice. No, it's fine. I've been displaced and I, and
yes.
I quit. And
nice.
Actually,
see you later.
This is the first time in my life I've ever been wrong. It's a hard day for me.
There's a couple things I want to mention, things that I did not enjoy about the movie. One is the trope that drives me nuts, where a movie to show that the girl is not like the other girls. She's good at fixing cars. We see it in that stupid Julia Roberts movie about running away from your wedding.
And
we
Pretty Woman. She knows a lot about cars.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that in a long time. I need to rewatch Pretty Woman.
Yeah. Megan Fox
and Transformers. And,
although there's a good case to be made there, but whatever.
Sometimes when Another it happens, day. I am totally fine to accept it, like in I, Tonya when that happens, or in Hidden Figures when it happens. But to me, like nothing about her skill to being good at fixing cars doesn't pay off at any point in the story, or it just feels like it's tacked on to...
In this movie, it's weird, and I don't think ever comes back. And I feel like that is like kind of cinematic shorthand for like, she's a guy's gal. She can hang.
Mm-hmm.
And and I think that that's all that we're supposed to take away from that. And it's just, because in that scene, it's kind of lazy writing.
It's Alan M's car, and he's like, well, my truck died. You got to help me fix it. And they're sort of like kind of flirting and bonding during that scene while she's fixing.
He is straight up playing guitar, acoustic guitar, barefoot, as she fixes his car.
He's awful.
Yeah.
If anyone shows up and starts playing the acoustic guitar at me, I'm fully upset. You can't just play it near me. You're playing it at me directly. I would love to link in this episode the Bandcamp extension for my ex-boyfriend who wrote the full album Your Body Is Dumb after I broke up with him. Never play the guitar around me. I'll scream.
I'm sorry. The boy you texted earlier was a drummer, so.
I didn't even know that facet of his personality.
You can drum around me. That's fine.
Okay.
I've never had an issue with drummers.
It's acoustic guitar. No, I had the same guitar. Ex-boyfriend thing. It was like.
And kind of the bass.
Went home from college, saw him over the summer, literally asked if while we were like hanging out, just sitting like by his car in a suburban town in Maryland, if he could take out his acoustic guitar and play something. And I was like, I guess?
Oh, I'm bone dry.
Yeah.
I'm basically a eunuch if you play the... If you want to make someone less horny than they've ever been in their life... and I would say I'm pretty on a pretty high horny percentile if we're surveying
country. You're constantly lubed, I will say.
I am fully lubed at all times. But... Man, if you're considering playing the acoustic guitar, you're doing it for you. And it's so clear when you're doing that. Do you mind if I play my guitar? And it's like, no. You know who doesn't do that? Drummers. Because they would also look crazy.
Yeah, that would.
You mind if I just bring my little rubber pad out and start?
I have a great track record with drummers. My high school boyfriend was a drummer.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And you are a clarinetist.
Shout out to
oboe.
Excuse me. Yes, it's okay. You can.
I was a clarinetist.
Okay, we're all.
We have two
clarinetists.
Really?
That's why I got confused.
Oh, I was a double reed girl. Mm. Not to brag.
Sorry, just the one for me.
It is harder.
single reeds for me.
We should probably be in a band. Two clarinets and an oboe.
We've got Josie and the Pussycats, Jamie and the Tidy Cats.
Oh my God, it's perfect.
Two
clarinets and an oboe.
I like that kind of physical response. My blood pressure just like rose.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So anyway, about the movie.
Sure.
Another thing that I didn't necessarily pick up on that much until this sort of watching this movie through the Bechdelcast lens was the fact that the band, so Josie, Val, and Mel, are all really mean to their manager's sister, whose name is Alexandra. So they have there's a character named Alexander. He is their band manager. And then his sister, played by Missy Pyle, Alexandra, like they do a lot of like body shaming to her. They're like, she comes in and they basically call her fat. They're like, oh, did you lose weight or something like that? She's at one point like putting on lip gloss and Val is like, oh, that lip gloss won't hide your mustache. Like they're like really cruel to her in a way that I don't understand why this is. And it feels really unneeded and bizarre. It's a very bizarre choice.
But like I would almost, to the point where I'd almost rather, and I know that this is like Archie canon or whatever, but like I would almost rather that character not even be there than her be there and only be used for the things that she's used for, because it really is like there's no consistency with her other than like she hates like she's like jealous. She doesn't even like work for them. She's just around.
Yeah, she's just around
and mean and like her. She's only driven by. And I mean, listen, I can relate to living a life driven by spite, but. It just doesn't make sense with the story. It's weird.
They do like kind of bring it up. They're like, they say to her, why are you here? And she says, I was in the comic books. It's very fourth wall.
Which is weird. It's a funny joke. But the fact that the way they treat each other, like, yeah.
But if you're that aware of how you're adapting it, then it's like, do a better job with that character.
Yeah. I mean, it was 2001. The body positivity movement wasn't popular yet. So, there's lots of body shaming in this movie. And it's... I don't know. It's just a glaring thing in an otherwise perfect movie. It's so easy to insert the trope in a movie of like girls being petty and catty toward each other. And it really bugged me this time around seeing it.
I'm interested in your thoughts on this, ladies. Mm-hmm. For Val's character played by Rosario Dawson, I feel like, and it made me think about, because she's the only woman of color in this movie at all.
I think so.
Sounds about right.
Is that true? Well, that's depressing. And I feel like her character is like underdeveloped in comparison to the other two in the band. Obviously, Josie's going to be the most characterized. She's the protagonist.
Right.
But it's I feel like there is a tendency, especially when she's already being presented as a token character, like she's, you know, she's the only woman of color we see on screen, that the movie kind of like sabotages characters like this. I think it happens in The Craft a lot as well, where the one woman of color we see, she gets less to do, and mainly what we know about her is that she is supportive of the white people around. Like, that's really all we know about Val. Like, and she's integral to the plot, obviously, but like Tara Reid, like, she has a very distinct character, and it's like she's a doofus.
So
she's
annoying.
All, she, you know, we're going to get a 45-minute scene with her and Carson Daly, and I'm going to love every second of it. Josie has, like, very distinct personality traits. Val does not really have that, and I feel like what she mainly has is that she is supportive of the other two, and that's just something that I thought about watching
the characterization there. Yeah, she's definitely robbed in terms of, like, having a developed character. Yeah, it does feel a lot like usually if there's a movie with mostly white women and then one woman of color, that character often, we know the least about her background, her backstory, right. her family life, anything like that. We know the least about that. We know least about her personality.
And I think that were I to hazard a guess, I would think that because there are so many white writers in, you know, Hollywood working, I feel like there might be like a feeling of like, oh, well, there's only one person of color in the entire cast. I don't want to fuck it up.
Right.
Because but then the result is they just don't really write a character for that person.
Right.
And that is also not a good result. And that just means that we should have more people of color writing movies.
Exactly. I think that's what Sofia Coppola said when she wrote and directed that Beguiled adaptation, where she's like, I am not a person
she's
of color, so I don't know how
Bechdel
to write character.
Who?
Yeah. Didn't know what the Bechdel test was.
Whom?
The consequences of that, like, I understand the hesitancy to misrepresent a character if you do not have that same experience.
Right, but then, like, talk to someone.
Exactly. It's as easy as that.
Give someone else work, you know, it's...
Or so. Let that, like, co-write something with someone. If you want to write a movie where some of the characters are people of color, excellent. Bring on a co-writer. Bring on, consult with people. Like, it is not hard.
Does I mean, and it's not egregious in Josie and the Pussycats, but it is just like something that I was thinking about.
She also has the worst makeover. I mean, it's like
her
makeover is boring.
Everyone
gets hair flips, highlights, eyeshadow. She's just like, we'll brush your hair for a minute.
Right.
And I feel they dress her in outfits that are not flattering to her.
No. Halter?
Which is crazy because it's like, what is not going to hang well on
She's a babe.
Rosario.
I know. It's
She's
really
perfect.
Bizarre.
She's perfect. That makeover scene is, speaking of tidy cats, that makeover scene is so blue. Why was that whole scene shot in like fluorescent lighting? Because that scene makes me laugh because it's blue in a way that most is usually reserved for action movies.
Right, sci-fi blue. Kind of stuff.
Very blue. And then they're so uncomfortably improvising through this scene where, like, at one point, Tara Reid's just, like, holding a brush and she's like,
they're like, throw some cotton balls at each other. It'll be hilarious. Yeah. And
I feel
it's like
my like interpretation of the blue is that it was supposed to be kind of like surgical. Like they were supposed to be like going through this very like regimented like idea of beauty and marketing and branding to like,
because
it felt very like they're all
it does
like
look sterile. Everyone's wearing like lab coats and shit.
Yeah, but it also could. Maybe one of their key lights broke.
Maybe, maybe they were like, all these blue gels. Let's figure out what scene to use them in.
Definitely.
I just inherited a bunch of blue gels from my grandfather.
They're like 20 cents. I'm fat with blue gels right now. We have got to use it.
And I also, do you think, and do we know, because you know so much about canon, were they friends? They don't seem like they ever spent a moment together outside of the set of Josie and the Pussycats.
The actors?
Yeah.
No, they made that very clear during the Q&A. Well,
you can feel that in the movie.
incredibly drunk or incredibly something, and just kept bringing up, like, she was like, we haven't really seen each other since then, but that was such an incredible time, just like over and over.
It's like, that was your time.
Yeah, that was your time.
Okay.
Oh, right. God.
Wait, can we just talk about her character for a second? Because, like, I mentioned, she's just, I don't even know what they're going for. She's very, I mean, she's this character who's like, she loves rainbows and puppies, and she, you know, just wants everyone to get along, and, you know, she's got a heart of gold. But she's also just extremely annoying and stupid, and it's like, why write a character like that?
I think that's a source material problem too, though.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the Archie comics, so I don't know how that character is represented in those. But I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's Tara Reid bringing that role to life, and I don't necessarily think she's very talented.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
I did not
guys.
Know we were going to go there.
Hot take. Wow. Tara Reid, maybe not the most talented
Caitlin Durante
actor.
Hates women. Hates
them. I am not a feminist icon. Sorry.
No, I do think a lot of that is, like, source. Because when in the comic book world, you literally have, like, this is the dumb friend. Because you have talk bubbles to work with. It wasn't, like, really fleshed out.
Sure. But I'll always make the argument that when you're adapting something, you can take the liberty to change.
I think so, too.
Or tone it down a little bit. I mean, I think with the casting choice, they made it clear what they wanted the character to be. Not to keep piling on Tara Reid. Anyways, the scene between her and Carson Daly is great. It should be put in a museum. God, Carson Daly is so boring. And in that scene, too, this is one of my favorite. Like, there's all these cardboard cutouts of, like, TRL guests. And if you watch it in 2018, you can really spot out. It's like, how many predators are in frame right now? Ooh. A lot of, what's that word you used when we talked about the Grinch?
Oh my God.
Oh.
Stuff that's in the frame.
Oh, mise-en-scène.
Mise-en-scène.
That's a film degree.
Yeah.
I recognize it from my own film degree. That's that word.
Speaking of tiger cats, I also have a film degree.
Yeah. I was wondering when you were going to ask. So.
Mise-en-scène. The mise-en-scène in the Carson Daly scene is full of what we now know to be sexual predators.
A lot of,
there's no less than four Johnny Depps in that frame.
There's a ton of Johnny Depps. There's crazy. A ton of Matt Damon's. Also, Ari Spears, problematic guy. There are a number of, like, peers of ours, comedians.
Heard of Ari Spears.
He was on Mad TV for a while. Yeah, okay. There are several.
He did a Cosby impression. That was like
he did a Cosby impression.
Oh, yikes.
Yikes. Doesn't
Tough
age
break.
Well at all, of course.
Tough
and then
break.
As a person, comedian friends of ours will, like, post something on Twitter and he will then troll them a lot for, like, stuff that they've said. He's not a good guy.
Feminist icon.
Ari Spears.
Slide right into our mentions, Ari Spears.
Yeah.
I dare you. I'm kidding. No, I really don't want any
conflict. Please don't. Don't talk to us. I just want to quickly talk about the Alexander character, their band manager. Mm. One, he physically strikes his sister apparently more than once in a day because he kicks her in the shin or something like that. And she's like, ow. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. My bad. That was an accident. But that was twice in one day, huh? So he's like repeatedly hitting her. Another weird choice. Why do we see this choice being made of a man physically striking a woman? And then later on, this guy's a piece of shit, because later on, they're all in a bathroom after Alan Cumming has been like, here, have a record deal. And they're like,
in the Starbucks bathroom.
Yeah, they're in a Starbucks.
No,
and they're like, this is suspicious. This is all happening really fast. And Alexander comes in and he's like, what if you're, like, having a band meeting? I should be here. And they're like, this is the ladies' room, which, like, why do we have to have separate restrooms? Anyway,
well, 2001?
2001.
Space Odyssey. Same year as Shrek.
Speaking of tidy cats.
You thought I was going to say 9/11, but I said Shrek.
Yeah. So, and then they're like, well, get out of here. This is the ladies' room. And he's like, what? It's nothing I haven't seen before. And then I think Val, in an attempt to get him to leave, she's like, anyone have change for a tampon? And he's like, bye. See ya, gross.
Ew.
So no comment.
He can't hang.
He cannot.
He's not just one of the girls.
He's not.
No.
Josie's been one of the boys.
I bet it's probably because he's fixing too many cars.
Well, something. It definitely has to do with a car.
He is fucking the tailpipe of a car, and it's
not a tampon in sight.
No tampons. Mm. I think if we just all had, you know, if men hung unused tampons around their room, kind of like dream catchers, that would be nice. That'd be nice. And then if you wake up and there's a bloody tampon hanging in a man's room, it just means that they had a dream.
What?
Like a bad dream. That's a dream catcher. I follow.
Yeah.
I think that mobiles that go over babies' cribs should actually just be
dirty tampons.
Not dirty. Although maybe let's. Why are we shaming women for bleeding? Free bleed all the time.
Free bleed
everyone.
On your baby. Free. This is final wave feminism. The last wave. It's the free bleed on your baby. Just okay. Stick it. Okay.
If we can get back on track, the point I'm trying. And I don't. I also might be reaching, but
please hashtag free movie, bleed on your baby.
The movie please. Isn't making a comment on this, which is. You know, not the biggest deal because it's a quick scene and like this is not what this movie is about, him being grossed out by bodily functions. But I feel like we almost never see representation of a man not being grossed out by a woman bleeding. And mm-hmm. It would have been a nice opportunity for him to be like, I don't care about tampons. And then right. We don't see it. And I'm just like, ugh, you missed an opportunity movie.
Yeah, for him, or maybe, you know, maybe win some points back and be right. Like, I have a quarter.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should have to be paying for these.
Right. Why are we not giving?
Great. That would be an amazing moment.
Feminist icon.
He
Alex
goes into why are we paying for these
why
products?
Are we? Yeah. There's a public health issue there. Yeah. Anyways.
There's a few. Oh, you mentioned, Jamie, the scene when they're recording in the studio for the first time.
So
there's
much wind.
Wind blowing. Where is it coming from? Why do we have to see women's hair blowing around?
I think that was a joke. Because Rachel Lee Cook's hair is going.
It's in feather.
It is like, I want to hear
for a breeze. It was designed knowing a breeze would pass her by.
Designed for a breeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, I want to hear the recordings of that session because it would all be like,
just a hard wind.
And then Tara Reid hitting a cymbal a couple times. There's a full on wind machine. I that's like, if that is a joke, it's one of my favorite jokes in the whole movie.
I think it's, I don't know if it's a joke. I feel like if it was a joke, they would have played up the wind more.
Right.
It's almost it too subtle to be a joke. I don't know.
This
either way.
This movie's not known for its subtlety.
No, it's not.
Shout out to Eugene
there
Levy.
There are 80, oh yeah, Eugene Levy's in it. In a weird scene, I don't know what to make of this, but you see him like, he's giving this instructional, like, here's what we do at this company. We trick teenagers into buying a bunch of crap. He's like, we live in the most ass-kicking country in the world. And then this woman in a bikini, like, stands by him and, like, waves the American flag, which is a joke, but it...
I think that's commentary.
Yeah.
Because he's wrong.
And he's
we
wrong.
All, we all know that their weird money fuck dungeon is wrong. There's no way around it. I feel like we haven't talked that much about Parker Posey's character. I love female villains. I like that we have a male and a female villain in this movie. Mainly, I feel like probably just to let Alan Cumming and Parker Posey be together. And they're so great together. And it's like, can you kiss?
They do.
I know they do. And they, but it's like, it's well, not in it. Every it's, scene.
Yeah.
It's like just at the end.
I love my favorite moment is when I think they do like a laugh off in her creepy bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
Like a villain laugh. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I love it. Any other two actors, that's the worst scene of all time. It's insufferable.
Yeah. The main thing I want to say about Josie and the Pussycats is that it's not a movie that's seeking to dismantle the patriarchy necessarily. It's a fun movie. It doesn't necessarily have an agenda, except it has the like anti-corporate, anti-capitalist agenda. But that also feels weird in a movie that has so much product placement. Although it makes me feel better that those companies did not pay.
It's funnier that way.
Because like it could have been like really cheap for them to be like, oh well, yeah, we can just make a bunch of money off this movie that we're saying is anti-capitalist.
Like if they did that too, though, it's like taking the money of these big corporations and then basically making fun of them.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm kind of there for that.
Yeah,
but
I think it could work either way. Yeah, so that's more the agenda of the movie than necessarily be. Well, I don't know. Like,
I totally agree that it's like it seems like the you know whatever the objective of this movie was decided and then. You know, other areas were not given as careful consideration as we would hope. Where it's like, we basically see, of the female characters especially, we see like one body type across the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very thin movie. It's a very white movie. It's, you know, like there's obviously places where it could be doing much better. And that should be acknowledged. But also, it is like such a good movie. And it's so, and it like, it oh God, did you see Alan Cumming's? Oh, we didn't talk about the most important scene in the movie, which is when Alan Cumming is driving his car sponsored by Ray-Ban.
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking for his new band. And I'm already like, oh, Alan Cumming is on screen, right? And then he almost hits Josie and the Pussycats with his car. And then it's like this moment where Meatloaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Light is Meatloaf, one of the greatest actors of our generation. Sorry. currently one of the worst singers in the entire world. Sorry. And then Alan Cumming breaks the fourth wall, turns, and doesn't he like wink or something?
He gives like a sly little like smile.
No one does it better.
He should have gotten an Oscar just for that scene.
My favorite Alan Cumming performance ever is like 1 second in an HBO commercial where it's like, I don't even know what they pulled from, but I've watched the commercial a lot where there's like, it's Alan Cumming on stage. I think it was like a taped live performance, and he just goes, Broadway. And you're just like, there it is. We don't need to make art anymore.
Mm-hmm. Or porn.
Or porn. I mean, we can all retire.
That's beautiful.
As sexual beings, we can retire. Broadway.
Broadway. Mm-hmm. Speaking of tiny cats. Let's talk about whether or not this movie passes the Bechdel test.
Oh, I think yes.
Yeah,
it does. For sure.
Yeah. It does. I like how we pause. Like,
We've done a lot of movies lately where there's like not even a discussion to be had about it. We're just like, yes, of course it does. They talk about their music a lot.
And friendship a lot.
Friendship. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And there's a lot of female characters. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't really talk about the friendship aspect, but I do like think that it is great to see female friendship portrayed in a way that is like very supportive and loving throughout, because it's, you know, like the corporate Alan Cumming and Parker Posey try to like drive a wedge into the friendship, and they can't because...
Well, they do for like a quick moment.
Right. But I mean, that's like with weird science, but it's like, but there's never a moment in the, like, even when...
There's never a moment which is not manufactured by these villains that tears them apart. It's all...
A very strong friendship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cheetah Girls... A little bit different.
I have no idea what Cheetah Girls is.
Really?
The Disney movie?
Is it a like Disney original?
Raven Simone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the girl who went on to date Rob Kardashian from 3LW.
And then the other girl from 3LW. White girl.
Yeah.
Wait, is it a Disney Channel movie?
Yeah, it is. Yes. It is a DCOM.
Okay, that's why I have
a Disney Channel original movie.
I've never seen a single Disney Channel
original. You've never seen
movie. I don't think I've ever missed one. I just started my own podcast, just me watching DCOMs.
I would... Love to hear.
Wow. I have to skip Smart House. I'm still scared of it.
Are you still scared of Smart House?
That house has so much power over them.
The thing about that house is that it was very smart.
By the way, Aristotle is in the corner giggling his little face off.
All right. He can take over hosting the Smart House episode.
Who is the male star of Smart House?
Wasn't it this? No, it was a white family. I thought it was the boy from Smart Guy for a second.
Taj Mahal, right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, the female friendship, we see a similar thing in like Spice World, where you think there would be conflict in a band scenario where there's always, you know, there's egos and there's all kinds of stuff that might come between them as a band and as friends. But the only thing that does briefly come between this band and Josie and the Pussycats is manufactured by the villains.
Yeah, it's like literal brainwashing.
Yeah, brainwashing. Yeah. And she barely succumbs. She succumbs to it, but then she quickly figures out like, hey, like this is weird. And she figures out what's happening. And that's to say that, again, the female characters of this movie are driving the story. So sometimes in movies, even if there is a female protagonist, like she doesn't even get to like figure out the big mystery or like even participate in the climax of her own movie, which is what we saw in like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Or in Aladdin, where Jasmine is literally physically thrown out of the screen while the conflict is resolved.
Yeah.
She's also a sex slave. There's a lot going on.
Oh, goodness.
Scene.
Can't wait
Look
to
forward
do
to the Aladdin episode.
Aladdin.
Yikes.
Are you going to do that?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
for sure.
Yeah, that red bikini, I mean, that was a large part of my childhood.
Jafar is a queer icon, I will say.
Anyways.
Iago.
Anyway. Iago, feminist icon.
So, yeah, the female characters in this movie are, without question, participating in the story, driving the story. Their friendships are solid. It's a fun movie, you know.
You gotta watch it.
You gotta watch it. Check it out. It's great to see women being funny and contributing to the comedy of the movie. A lot of times in a comedy, female characters are robbed of any opportunity to be funny. So that's great for this movie. Should we rate the movie?
Let's rate it.
Yeah.
Let's rate it.
Let's rate the movie on our nipple scale of 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of women. Mm. I'm going to give it 4. because I think the main characters, especially Val and Mel, could have been more fleshed out, especially Val, like you said, being the only person of color. She feels a bit sidelined. Her character doesn't feel as developed as the others. And I don't know, you can have a dumb character and have it not be so annoying. And maybe this is just my personal thing, but Mel's character to me is insufferable. And anytime she's on screen, I'm just like,
yeah, she doesn't bother me.
Maybe it's in this room. I hate that scene.
And especially like, what a boon for Tara Reid to literally play two type exactly and make a lot of money doing it.
That's true.
Good for her.
Do it.
Yeah. Again, I guess in this episode,
dare I say you go, girl?
I guess.
I'll say it.
All right.
I'll say it.
Say it. So yeah, the characterization isn't as great as we would hope. There are also the parts when the women of the band are body shaming Alexandra and vice versa. That's a weird choice. So there's just some kind of weird choices. But overall, I like the message of like all the anti-corporate stuff. I like just the fact that it's a fun movie starring women. You get a woman villain who's a great character. Yeah, that's it. Four nipples, three for each of the members of the band, and the fourth one goes to Parker Posey.
Cool. Faye, what say you?
I'm going to go a full five nips on this.
Wowie.
It is just like my all-time favorite movie, and I know it is a portrayal of women, but I did watch this when I was like 11, and...
Did you feel empowered?
I think it was so subtly a movie about girls that were friends that only looking back on it now, I'm realizing it's like the only movie I watched when I was like a kid that was about girls that were friends and in a band. And I think it affected me a lot in a way that wasn't hit over the head with it, which I think it was a movie ahead of its time for a lot of reasons, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree with everything we've been saying about body types, diversity, and like... There's a lot of complexities to being a woman that aren't, you know, showcased. But I think just for this being 2001, a movie that's literally about a band of girls that are best friends is, like, special.
Pretty cool.
Who are you giving your nippies to?
Oof.
Sorry for making eye contact when I said that.
I mean, I feel like you I now. I feel like you're vibing.
I actually can't look at you ever again.
Are you guys vibing?
I don't know. Ross is in the room.
I'm going to give five straight nipples to Jamie Loftus.
Thank you so much.
I hope you use them wisely.
I'm going to.
As someone with an irregular number of nipples already, just please use those five very wisely.
Listen, I need spare tires. Yeah. You know, keep them in my back pocket. Keep them in the trunk. Keep your nips in the chat. Okay. I'm gonna give it 3.5. Guys, I'm sorry. I love this movie so much. It's an unreasonable expectation to be like, every movie has to be perfect in every single way. But I just, especially because this is a movie that's marketed to young girls, there were a lot of missed opportunities that I would have liked to see capitalized on. But, I mean, I don't have anything to add in terms of, like, you pretty much covered it. But I do love that there was a major film release directed at kids that was about how corporations suck. And it's also so funny. I would argue that any scene Alan Cumming is in with anyone does pass the Bechdel test.
Okay.
I think we should make an across-the-board exception for that. I've already made that exception for Alfred Molina.
Yes.
People are flooding my DMs. Jamie, will you pardon Alfred Molina for not being able to pass the Bechdel test? Yes, of course.
Does that mean if Alan Cumming and Alfred Molina speak to each other in a movie, that passes the Bechdel test too?
Absolutely. Oh, of course it does. Okay. And they could be talking about their own penises, and it would still pass the Bechdel test. If a scene where Alan Cumming and Alfred Molina are like, they both whip out their dicks and they're like, let's
just straight up
compare.
Measuring.
Yeah. They're measuring their penises.
Still a full pass.
Just like a nice, calm, peaceful. They're like, well, how much is yours? Instead of like these like normal dick measuring contests where they're like,
it's
gentle. Theirs would be gentle.
Motivated by curiosity. So basically an ASMR video.
I hope that happens for you, Jamie. I just want that out in the world for you.
An ASMR video of Alan Cumming and
Alfred Molina
gently measuring each other's penis.
We all want that, but I really want that for you.
That is, I will have to make a cartoon of that, and I have to go.
I have to get started.
This is my own personal smut stash for just me.
Wow. Well, we've had a blast
what
here
a journey.
Today. What a time.
I didn't give my nipples to anyone.
Oh, yeah.
Guess who I'm giving them to?
Tidy Cats?
I'll give two to Alan Cumming and 1.5 to Tidy Cats.
Great. All right. Well, speaking of Tidy Cats, Faye, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you. This is so fun.
This is so
yay.
Much fun.
What would you like to plug? Where can people find you online?
Oh, my God. At Faye Orlov on everything. And then I was going to plug, I thought of it while we were doing this, that at junior high, we're an event space for women. And we're starting a new series of nights. It's going to be once a month. My friend Darby's hosting. We came up with like a really clever name that I can't remember, but it's movies that are not only featuring women, but made by women. So
oh,
we're
awesome.
Going to be screening, I think, like a trailer and then a short and have whoever made the short there, like female directors, producers, and then watch a movie. I think we talked about doing Josie, in fact, but because it was made by a woman
it
man
is,
team.
Yes, yes, yes. This movie was written and directed by Harry Elfont and Deborah Kaplan.
Yeah, and they're really cool. But yeah, so just look on welcometojuniorhigh.com. We have a whole calendar. That's not up yet, but just keep your eyes out or on Instagram at welcometojuniorhigh. And if you have ideas for similar things, please reach out.
Woo.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You can follow the Bechdelcast on all the social media platforms at Bechdelcast. You can rate and review us on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. What also helps us out is going to our Patreon and subscribing.
Yeah, it's great. Give us $5 a month or else. Thank you
or
so much.
Or else.
Thank you so much.
Well, speaking of Tidy Cats, bye.
Bye.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.